All right. Praise God. Good morning. How you guys doing? Man, you guys look good, honestly. Didn't I always tell you guys, right? And I always say, every morning, I'm here. I'm usually the first one here. Sometimes Steven's here. Actually, Steven's usually the first one here. I usually roll in about 7:35. And the reason why I'm late is because, a little bit hot, is because I drive around Sanger, checking out all the churches, right? And I look in there, and I was like, they look all right. And then I would say, because the most beautiful and the most intelligent church in all of Sanger, California is right here. Amen? That's why I say, nothing against those other churches. Jesus loves them too. I'm just saying that this is the most beautiful, most intelligent church in all of Sanger, California. Amen? So you guys look good. I love the seeing all the Ice Heart C3. I told Stephanie I was going to wear this shirt just so I could do the Superman. You want to? That's all. That's the only reason why I'm wearing this shirt. I'm actually sweating, but I'm about to unbutton it. But Stephanie's like, I should have worn, remember, when was it? I was like, I should have worn a shirt. So I go, like Superman. Anyway, it's all good. God is good. My wife's laughing. She's like, what?
Calm down, Henry.
But if you have. If you're joining us, you know, most of you guys know we're right in the middle of a campaign of the series. It's called I Love My Church, right? I Love My Church. And you guys know we've been covering different topics. From the first week, talking about why you belong in the church, how you belong. Like in the outside world, you don't belong, but here in the church and the bride of Christ, you belong, right? You're like a part of the body that is important. And we talked about in the second week that you need to be connected. Right, you need to let down your walls. You guys remember I showed the little picture of Wilson where you got to let people in and not just kind of let people see your Instagram version of your life that's all perfect. And Stephanie told me never to make that face again on Instagram. I don't post, but if I ever do post, never to post doing that face. Never. So I will never post it, but you guys will see it here. At church, okay? But being connected, because what? At the end of the day, you need to be connected to the body. You can't just let people see the Instagram version of your life. Look how fabulous your food is. Look at you at the gym. Here's me with my smoothie. Here's me at Starbucks. I mean, do people still go to Starbucks? They're on strike now. Everybody's now, it's about what? Like, look at me at Dutch Bros and all my stickers. But you need to be connected. You got to let people in. Right, and what do we learn in week 3? That God has equipped you with talents and abilities and spiritual gifts to serve the church, for the edification of the church. That's not about you. It's all about Jesus. Now we serve him together. And then last week, we spent some time talking about how do we love the church by giving of our time, of our talents, and of our treasures. And I challenge you guys at the end of this, and I'm going to hold true to that. I'm going to ask at the end, we'll talk a little more about what that means. But we read in the book of Acts last week about how the people were giving and there was needs in the church and there was felt needs that needed to be met by the body of believers. And so I had asked you guys to pray about it, and that's what I'm going to do today. So be ready for that portion. But today we're going to learn about how you love your church by serving. How you love your church by serving. I'm sorry, sharing. I'm still stuck on last week. I was serving. By sharing. Because isn't it, you know, I always say, listen, when here comes my son, coming back, got kicked out of the kids class. I love my church by sharing. Isn't it awesome, right? Whenever you have something good, do you like to keep that a secret? Even if it's something like, oh, I found this amazing deal at Costco. You have to go. I found an amazing deal. I was shopping here. You usually want to call somebody and share, right? How about when you fall in love? You guys, I already know. Some of you guys are like the real romantics. Stephanie and I met when we were in high school. So I can still remember all the high school stuff. Are there some high schoolers in here that are like kind of in that phase where it's like, oh, I miss her. I miss him. He's so cute. She's so... You guys remember that? You guys remember that? And you want to share, right? Isn't that like, hey, I'm excited about this person. Some of the people, I'm getting some weird looks in the room. They're like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, believe me, it's okay. Listen, it's okay for you not to feel that way. But what we're talking about is we're in love with Jesus. Amen? We should be excited about God. We should be excited about when you have found the one, right? Remember the woman at the well? What did she say? Come and see. She told everybody, come and see the one who knew everything and told me everything about me, right? And still was able to what? Redeem her. And she, through her testimony, brought a lot of people to faith. You guys remember that? Because she was excited. She couldn't help. In fact, this week, we were going through our morning devotions with the kids. And you guys remember when Peter and John were arrested and they said, you have to stop talking about this Jesus. And he said, they can say, we can't stop talking about what we have, what? Seen and heard. And so that's our Jesus. And so what do we need? I said, listen, you found Jesus. You're, hooray, right? Praise God, you found Jesus, yeah? And that Jesus found you. But is it enough? Like last week I said, is that you get to keep Jesus all for yourself? You're a hoarder? Jesus is only for me. He's mine. He's my precious. Right? Sometimes we want to act like that. It's like, no, Jesus is not just for you. Jesus came and he died on the cross for everybody. Even the person that you don't like. Even the person, one person in your usually, if you're honest, right? There's somebody that drives you crazy. Anybody? Now, if they're sitting next to you, don't say amen that loud. But if, just like a little like, wink, wink at me. I see you. Okay. It's our secret. No, there's usually somebody that drives you crazy, right? Jesus came to die for their redemption as well. That person that drives you crazy, right? Because guess what? Jesus is crazy about every person. I'll be honest with you. God loves people that way. I can never wrap my brain around it, but God loves that way. And so what we're going to be focused on today is, well, how do we share that good news? It'd be pretty selfish of you to know Jesus and not share him. It'd be pretty selfish of you to say, I love me some Jesus and Jesus loves me, but you know what? You can go to the, where? Go to Hades, right? And if we're not sharing the good news, right? If we're not inviting people, if we're not giving our witness and testimony, what we read today is that this Bible and Jesus himself speaks more about hell than anybody. Oftentimes people say, well, I love talking about heaven. Everybody loves talking about heaven, right? But nobody wants to talk about going to hell. And the reality of it is that we have to share, right? It's like everybody loves talking about their favorite restaurant or where they went to a vacation, yeah? Nobody likes to like go, except for Eloy, likes to talk about going to the gym. Nobody else loves that. Everybody wants to talk about what I ate and where I'm going on vacation. Because going to a gym is like, for some of us, a little rounder here, that is like a living hell. Because we're out of shape. I'm just calling myself. I'm telling you guys, I'm here to tell the truth. And last week I told you guys I was not going to go to Taco Bell and I didn't go. You guys will be so proud of me. I know. Little baby Steph. Baby wins. Baby wins. Although Stephanie was like, true story. She's like, hey, did you see they came out with this new hot Frito burrito? We got to go. I said, babe, I just told the church we're not going anymore. I'm telling you. Temptation. I know. Get behind me, babe. Babe, I didn't say, you guys say what you guys thought I was going to say. Get behind me, babe. But we want to share, right? Share the good news of who Jesus is, share his love. And today we're going to learn, we're going to be focused on how do we do that. We're going to be reading out of Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and Jesus giving us instruction on how we are called to share the good news, right? So if you guys have your Bibles, let's go ahead and read Matthew 5. We're going to be in verses 13, and we're going to read through 16. You guys there? All right. And Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. The same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Amen. Amen. And this is after, you guys already know, this is Jesus. We always say, whenever we read the passage of Scripture, we want to share the what? The context, right? You know, you guys know that context is almost like when you say, when you in Spanish, when you go somewhere and say, who went with you? How do you say that? ¿Quién va contigo? Like the C-O-N, right, is next to you, with you. And so we always want to study what's happening. The passage of Scripture has power, but it's always rooted in, right, a place and a time and a people that it was given to. So the context of this passage, you guys already know, Matthew chapter 5 is the big Sermon on the Mount, right? Jesus is in Galilee preaching, and he's sitting on a mountain, and he lays down probably, or lays down, shares, puts down, throws down the greatest sermon that's ever preached. Amen? And there's some parallels there too. I don't know if you guys know that. Jesus, prior to this, there was somebody else that went up on a mountain and actually had a very conversation, a one-to-one conversation with somebody. You guys know who he was? When he came down the mountain, his face was glowing. It was Moses, right? Mount Sinai. And he came down with the what? The Ten Commandments. And then he got the law, right? All 663 of the Mosaic laws. And so Jesus starts to preach this message. I don't know if you guys know this, that he's trying to preach them, listen, that somebody that is here to fulfill the Mosaic law. And he starts to transform the thing about the, and this is not a message about the Sermon on the Mount, but you guys need to know. He was preaching to say, listen, you have the law. I'm here to teach you something else. And in fact, I'm not, he says, I didn't come to do away with the law. I came to what? Fulfill the law. Now he preaches and he goes through a series of different things. It's called the Beatitudes. And we're going to read them in a little bit. But what then he goes on to say is that, and he says, by the way, you all people, right? The church, the people, the body, this is how you're meant to fulfill it. Right? And how do you fulfill it? Well, he says, then what? He gives them an analogy. He says, you're the salt of the earth, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? And then he says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, right? What he's trying to say is that, listen, it should be obvious, brothers and sisters, that if you love God and you love Jesus, people should be able to taste it. They should be able to what? See it, yeah? And so what Jesus is talking about, as he's talking about, number one, how he entrusts us to create the kingdom experience, right? This is what he's talking about. How God entrusts us, the believer, the church, to create the kingdom experience, right? So why is this important? I mean, I know you guys, we live in the, I would say, most blessed time, I would say, honestly. Aside from like you walking with Jesus, right? That'd be an amazing time to live in. But like, I don't know, like, that would have been harsh too. You know, like, I'd be, like, try riding around. Like, my son's going somewhere. But we live in a very blessed time, right? And whenever you try, for example, like a new restaurant, right? Have you guys visited a new restaurant? What's the most, like, the newest restaurant that anybody's visited on this side? Anybody? What is it? Chipotle is a new one? Praise God. That's some good Mexican food there. It's very commercial, but it's good, brother. Okay, how about this side of the room? Any new? Dosan, somebody said? Okay, all right. When you go to a restaurant, when you go to a new place, what are you usually doing when you first walk in? What are you usually, anybody? Checking out the prices. All right, praise God. Check out the prices, or how much is it going to cost me? So I know whether I should just get like the appetizer or a full-on meal, yeah? The prices, anybody else? What else do you check? The smell of the food, yeah. What's the smell, all right? It smells terrible in there? It smells good, like, oh man, something's good in there. Somebody else over here says, is it clean? Is it all dirty, right? You'll be like, oh, somebody says there are roaches in there. Maybe that'd be a bad sign where you probably don't want to go there. Here's what I'm saying is that you're looking for what? The experience. What's the vibe of the restaurant? Is the music like elevator music? Or is it more like upbeat, up tempo? You know, you're just like, dish, 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 dish. No, maybe that not be that might not be your restaurant, you know? You're like, you walk in and you're like fist pumping already. Oh, I love this place. I love the vibe. You know, the waiters might come in. They have a different vibe to them too, right? Sometimes you go up to the waiter and the waiter's like they hate their job. They hate their life. What do you want? You know, it's like, want something to drink? I like, don't even serve me with that attitude. Does that mean, seen that? Right? It happens. Or sometimes the waiter, right, is just like, oh, how are you, man? You have to try this. This is so good. We have this. Oh, you're going to love it. Doesn't that change the vibe, the experience? Of course it does. Of course it does. You know, we used to live down in San Diego, and here's two different things, right? I'm going to give you guys a comparison. Our kids, they like Nintendo stuff. We took them to Nintendo World. It's a good vibe there, right? The people are happy. They're wearing little mushroom hats. Like, the decorations are nice. Everything about the vibe is cool. The food, meh. It's so-so, you know? On the other hand, we used to live in San Diego. We used to go eat tacos at this one place. I don't know what it's called. It was a hole in the wall. We used to actually cross the border because the food was so good there. Now, this is a true story. The Mexican guy would be all sweaty on it. Sometimes the sweat would drop in your taco. That tasted even better. I don't know. That's gross. I'm telling you, it was a hole in the wall, but the food was so darn good. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, it is a little bit of salt, right? It was the salt and the light of that meat on that taco. But the food was really good. We would go an hour crossing the border and come back. This is when it was a long time ago. 20 years was more practical than back then. The vibe of that place was it was busy, but the food was good. All right, you compare it. What we're reading about today is, listen, God is wanting you to combine the good food with the vibe of the church. Does that make sense? Like how you act, how you respond, the way that you feel when you show up to church. There should be a vibe about it. There should be love about it. It shouldn't show up like, you know, like people come to church and it's like you're going to a funeral. Nobody's talking. Right? It's dead in there. You know, you go, and I'll be honest with you, this is one of the things where I tell you guys, I love that people say, I want to share, I want to bring food, I want to do this, I want to lie. This is why, and to my brother Stephen's discontent, I said, you know what, let the fellowship go on another 10 minutes. Because he's all about the time. He's like, Pastor, you guys should see this guy, like his blood pressure is like, I said, let the people fellowship. Let the people eat, right? Yeah, this is your story. But God is good, right? So this is what we love about the church. There should be a vibe about church that you should be happy when you show up. There should be joy in that church. Shouldn't be like a funeral parlor. Nobody's talking. Everybody's sad. And so we're talking about that God has entrusted us, what? To create the kingdom experience. Because listen, to live in this world, you already know it is tough, yeah? And if you don't have joy, if you don't have the kingdom experience in your life, then who's going to have it? Let's just all go get some more medications and call it a day. You know what I mean? Like, no, the joy of the Lord. And I'm not, you guys know that I work in healthcare. I'm not downing that. There's times where we need it. But man, there should be joy in what we're doing, yeah? So we have to create that kingdom experience. He's entrusting us to be the salt and the light. And what does salt do? You guys know? Have you ever gone to somebody's house? If they're here, don't raise your hand. And they invited you to a meal and you started eating and you're like, where's the salt? Sister, you have salsa? Trying to be all polite. It's all bland. Ever had that? It's true. The food is like bland. You're like, this thing needs some what? Needs some salt. My mom would say, le falta sazón. In fact, I would love that. My mom was saying, you know, your sister Norma, she's like, she cooks. She's like, I love it because tiene sazón. She cooks. That's her thing. Whenever she says, when her thing is, if somebody cooks good, that's her thing. She cooks with seasoning. There's flavor to her food. Yeah. So, like Sister Virginia, she, right? You guys all know tiene sazón, right? Yeah. Yes or no? Ever brought nothing good that I was like, man, I didn't like. No, man, I keep. That's why I can't lose the weight around here. People keep bringing food. Praise God. But it's good. Yeah. It needs flavor. And likewise, at the time, salt was very important, right? Imagine that. It was for flavor and preservatives. They didn't have all kinds of sriracha sauce. They didn't have ketchup. They had what? That's salt. You have to put salt on everything. And it preserved and it gave flavor. And the light, in the same way, they're called to be the light. Right? We turn on the light here, we're already spoiled, we turn on the light, and it's on. Over there, you had to what? You had to light a candle. You had to put your bowl on the lampstand so people could see. And so that's what Jesus is saying. It's like, listen, I'm trusting you with this task that you have to create the kingdom experience here. If we're not going to do it, then who's going to create it? Because number two, right, the experience of the kingdom has to come from his followers. Who's going to create the kingdom experience? This is not the people of God. Right? I've told you guys before, the church is plan A. There's no plan B. You're it. You're it. And so as the salt and the light, we need to bring the taste and the atmosphere of Jesus into our kingdom. You know, are you just going about like, you're just one of those people that goes through motions like unnoticed. You were there or not there. It's like, were they there? I don't even know. You know, does that make sense? No, God is saying like, listen, you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. You bring salt and light where you go. There should be flavor, right? There should be a lightness around you now, not a darkness when you step into the room. You guys know people that bring that kind of environment? When you're around them, it's like, man, they're like Eeyore, like a rain cloud over them. Right? Oh, bother. Right? You guys know people like that. But we're meant to be the opposite. We're meant to bring the kingdom experience to life and bring the right atmosphere. In fact, Jesus also in Genesis 1:26, he says what? After he making man and women, he said, let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and all over the earth and let every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, right? What is he talking about? He's saying that he's created us for what? For dominion, for impact. And you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. So God has given you what? He's given you a spirit that's weak, that's like, meh. Or has he given you a spirit that's full of power, right? And what? Self-control. You guys remember that? You guys remember the 2 Timothy verse? But the Spirit of God lives in you, so you have the same power. It's funny. We'll be reading, right? You'll be reading the book of John, and Jesus will say, I'm filling you with power, and you will do greater things than I have done because what? Because I'm going to the Father, and I'm sending you the Helper. And he says, you'll do greater things. You'll do even greater things, right? But oftentimes, when we read that passage of Scripture, if we're honest, we're not believing it. It's like, do you think that you can do greater things than Jesus did in this earth? Because that's what Jesus said. You don't believe it, right? But listen, he was talking to the disciples, and the disciples what? 12 people that transformed the whole world. Not through them, but through the power of the Holy Spirit is what he's saying. He's saying, yeah, we might not be able to make the lame walk, but we can bring dead people to life by introducing them to him. That's what Jesus was saying. Oftentimes you're saying like, well, can I walk up to somebody and heal them? Maybe God has given me the gift of healing. But he's saying, listen, I'm inviting you to bring dead people to life, to fix broken relationships, to free addicts from their bondage, to set the sinner free from the sin, from the shame and the guilt that we live with as sinners when we introduce them to the one that has the ability to heal us. And his name is Jesus. That's why we can do greater things, right? Then, because what? We can reach more people. Yes? I know sometimes we're doubting that, but listen, God is inviting us to make an impact for the kingdom. And that comes from his followers. And so how? How do we do that, right? This is the big question. Well, how am I going to do that? How am I going to do that? Well, lucky for you, we're going to keep reading. Matthew chapter 5. Now let's go to verse 1. Where it says that Jesus saw the crowds and he went up on the mountainside and sat down and his disciples came to him and he began to teach them. And he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Amen. How are we going to do it? Jesus is laying down and he said, listen, in the Beatitudes, he gives us a scripture. In the first ones, he's talking about the values of the kingdom of God. He says, how are we going to experience it, right? So number three, it says, people will experience Jesus' community when we live out its values. That's the third fill in the blank for today. People will experience a community, Jesus' community, when we live out its values. And he goes on and he lays those things out one by one. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for those of the kingdom of God, those who mourn. In fact, you notice the reoccurring theme, right? In every single verse is, they'll be blessed, they'll be blessed, they'll be blessed. And in fact, it's almost the opposite is what he's saying. But he's saying, this is how I want you to live. Not all about the religion and the laws, but how you value, right? How you live your life. People should know that you're a follower of Jesus Christ is what he's saying. Blessed are those who mourn because they'll be comforted. Blessed are the meek, they'll inherit the earth. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful because they'll be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart because they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers for they will be called children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Right? Very simple. You know, Jesus said, and he distills it even further, right? If you guys remember that. He says what? Matthew 22:36, love God and love what? People. Right? Very simple. You don't have to do all these religious things. You don't have to have read, like feel like you're a theologian to talk to people about Jesus Christ. People are not, in fact, I'll be quite honest with you. People don't want to know how much you know about God. You know what they want? They want to see God in you. They say, can you live this thing out? Because I don't want to be preached to. I don't want to be told how you're God and this thing. If you're doing these things and all these things that you're going to hell and all that stuff. Is there love and kindness in that? Now, I'm not saying that we condone and we put a rubber stamp on everything that the world is saying. We're not going to do that. But what Jesus is inviting us to say is like, it's not about the law. It says, I'm asking you, I'm giving you a new way to live, a new way to have values in what you do and the impact that you bring to the people around you. That's what Jesus is talking about. And says, people will experience Jesus' community when we live it out. Because if we're just preaching and talking, it's like, oh, we know people that know the law, we know all these things, but if they do the opposite, what does that make you feel like? Or what opinion do you have of those people? What are they? They're hypocrites, huh? It's like, oh, you're filled with love, but all I hear that comes out of your mouth is negativity and hate. Oh, you love this people as long as they look and talk like you, as long as they vote like you. And your skin color is like you, let's love them. And Jesus is saying, that's not what I came for. I came for everybody. All colors, all races, all nations, all demographics. It doesn't matter. We can't pick and choose what side. That's what has to happen in the church. It has to be supernatural. We get divided very easily as people by the color of our skin, by what we drive, where we live, by how we vote. What's on your bumper sticker? What team you like? Jesus doesn't care about any of that. He wants us to live out his values because that's attractive to people. You guys have heard me say this before, right? The world that we live in, there's a lot of different options. I don't know if you know that. Perceived options. We know that there's only one way to the Father, right? Jesus says what? No one comes to the Father except through me, right? It's true. But the world will say, we're all climbing up the same mountain. You do your thing. You be good. You can get to heaven. I don't need a relationship with your God. I'm going to get to heaven on my own. Right? I told Brother Zeke this week. That's a lie from the enemy. You don't get to get into the Father's house without relationship. Right? You try walking up to some of those nice houses over there on Herndon Avenue, start knocking on the door and say, I'm moving in. Why? Because I feel like I'm a good person. I'm moving in. Here's all my stuff and all my cousins. Everybody, come on, we're moving in. You know how we do it? We're Hispanic. Bringing the whole family. We're all moving in. What's that person that lives in the house going to say? Security, cops, 911, the sheriffs, everybody shows up. Because what? They don't know who you are. Right? There's no relationship. Now people are going about living their life thinking the same thing. Everybody's going to get into heaven. You think so? No. You got to know who the Father is. You got to know who the owner is, yeah? You think you're just going to knock and say, I'm a good person, God. What's your definition of good? Jesus says, who's good but God? And so what he's saying is like, listen, let's not fool ourselves. The culture that we live in, the enemy, he's a liar, man. He's lying like nobody else's business. You're good. I'm good. At the end, am I in? God is a loving God. He's going to let me in because he's that loving. I see. You get in by your own rules. That's not how God operates. God is a God of relationship. And so, yeah, you know what? What I would like is when I go up to that, when God's house, I want him to recognize me, right? He's like, come on in, mijo. Man, I've been waiting for you. Praise God for what you've been doing. Praise God. You know, I'm so glad that you're here. And then all the people that have gone before us that know the Lord, man, isn't that awesome? That you get to have a party. I'm just saying, like, listen, but it only comes from relationship, not from thinking that you're good. Nobody's good but God. And we don't get into heaven without having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, again, going back to the sermon, let's get back in the car, guys. How will people experience it when they see it in us? I've shared this testimony time and time again. The person that brought me to Jesus Christ, obviously the Holy Spirit in Jesus, but my brother was the person who I started seeing something different in his life. Because I knew him as, I don't know about you guys know, but I knew him his whole life. My whole life. And I remember what he was like. He was like Tupac. He was like me. He was always mad. Right? We grew up in the heyday of rap, okay? I'm just saying. Feel bad for the young kids. But listen, he was always mad. All the time. Anger, like just this kind of crazy, like rage kind of stuff. And then I saw Jesus get a hold of him. And I started to see the values of Jesus lived out in his life. And even I would mock him. I was one of those mockers right there. Right? I would be like, oh, you're God? Okay, here comes the hermano. Hey, hermano. Like, I wasn't walking with the Lord. I was just making fun of him. But you know what? I was interested because of what God was doing in his life. And he invited me to church for almost 2 years. And then finally he did force me to come. But then that's what brought me to it. I says, okay, I'm going to go. And then the Holy Spirit got me in a headlock like, you guys got no business, man. And I said, fine, I am going to surrender. I will let go. Amen. But he was living it out. And that's what we need to do. He was being the salt and the light in my life. And I could see it. Now, number four, the other thing that we have to do is like, you say, oh, but I'm not a pastor. I'm not equipped. I have all these things, right? All these reasons why we can't share the good news of who Jesus is. Listen, we always say, preach the gospel and use what? Words if you have to. People are reading you every day of your life. People are reading you because they're what? They're watching you. Yeah? And you know, you got people that are very nosy in your lives. They're always watching. And then they're always looking at your Instagram too. Oh, he went over there? She was over there? Right? All up in your business. Yes or no? Yeah. But people want to know, right? Need to, number four, live and share the values of the church in our everyday lives. Live and share the values of the church in our everyday lives. It's not just on Sundays. It's when you're at work, when you're at the gym, if you go to the gym, when you're at Taco Bell, you know, or at Chipotle. Dutch Bros, right? That's a new evangelism place. Right? I go to Dutch Bros and I pray for, my brother told me this, I go to Dutch Bros and I pray for people. Man, I love that. Amen? When you're at school. Because guess what? You know where all the unbelievers are? It's not like you have to go looking for them. You guys are saying, where? I wake up and it's like, where are all the unbelievers? I can't seem to find one of them. If there was one unbeliever that God would bring to me right now, I would share the good news of Jesus with them. Where is that unbeliever? Guys, right? Where are they? Sometimes they're everywhere, right? Sometimes they're in the car with you. Sometimes they're in the office with you, right? They're making your order at Starbucks. They're making your burrito at Chipotle. It's the co-worker next to you. They're everywhere. And they desperately need Jesus. They just don't know it. Everybody's doing the best they can, right? Just trying to keep your head above water. I used to be that person, I'll be honest with you. And that's why I know. I was believing the lies of the enemy. Like many people in here, I was believing the lies of the enemy. But we have to share the good news of who Jesus is, right? We share the values of the church in everyday lives. And so you're going to ask, like, well, what does that mean? What does it take? I'm coming up on time. But it's okay, we fed you guys already, so I can go late. You start feeling hungry, there's some more muffins over there. Here's what I'm saying. I'm going to get to wrap up. Jesus wants you to use what's in your hand. Share the good news of who he is. So if you're a teacher, you're going to have a lot of opportunities. I know, it's like, Pastor, I get fired. You're going to build relationships with people that are going to come to you to trust you, right? You just point them to Jesus. If you're in healthcare, you're a nurse, people are going to come to you, right? People are going to share. Parents are going to come talk to you. If you're whatever you do, real estate, you're at the gym, you're selling, you're at Camper World, getting an RV fixed or whatever. You know what people like to do? They like to talk about their lives. They like to talk a lot sometimes about their problems. They give you little hints. They give you little things that you can pick up on. And it's not like you say, let me pick up now and do this massive thing. It's like, no, just speak life to them. Pray over them. Invite them. Use what God has given you in your hands for God's glory. Does that make sense? I shared this because I was, brother came to NextGen and we were talking about how do we know that that was the best way to do it? Because you know who did that? Who did that? His name is Jesus. He is God. He is awesome. Amen? What did he always do? It's not like he would hit people like with this crazy old like sermon. He would speak to them right where they were in the situation that they found themselves and say, well, let me tell you what I said in Matthew chapter 5. I said this, and that's how you're going to say that. Right? He was always very practical. I gave the woman at the well example. A woman who is separated, because sometimes you might say, well, Pastor Michael, there's so much, I don't have a lot in common with that person. They're so different from me. They believe, they have a different lifestyle. They're into all this other, they don't believe. Different color, different religion, different beliefs, different statuses, different town, all that stuff. Jesus gives us an awesome story in John chapter 4, the woman at the well. A woman, right? Just think about it. A woman and a man, they should not speak. A Samaritan and a Jewish person should not speak. A sinner and a perfect God. You guys catching my drift? Different races should not be speaking. Is that what I'm saying? What did Jesus do? He starts talking about what to her? The water. Very simple. He says, oh, I see that you're here drawing water. And he even says, she tells him you have nothing to draw with. You guys remember that? And then Jesus starts to introduce and weave the whole conversation about who he is and reveals himself to her. And so listen, maybe it's not going to be you at the well, but maybe it's you, at Starbucks or at Chipotle or most likely at work, or it could be somebody to say, hey, sounds like you're going through a hard time. Let's go grab some coffee. Let's go grab some lunch. Right? You pay and I pray. Whatever it looks like, and then you introduce them to Jesus. It's not that complicated. People are not interested in how much you know this Bible. Of course, I'm not saying sleep on this. I'm not saying that at all. But people want to see you lived out. And more than anything, they want to see that what you are about is legit. Are you in alignment with the God that you say that you worship? Do you really love God and do you really love people? Or you love God, but you're just too busy for everybody else. See, we have to live and share the values in our everyday lives, right? And it doesn't have to be like we're beating people up with the Bible, you know? Although, like, if you want to discipline your kids with this, it does not leave marks, okay? I'm just saying. I'm going to try to teach them what's inside of it, but it also works the other way. I'm kidding. I got lost my train of thought. Okay, it'll come back. But listen, at the end of the day, right, number five, when we have truly experienced Jesus, we're going to help others experience Him too. When you have truly experienced Jesus, we're going to help others experience Him too. Why? Because we can't help. We can't help but share and talk about what we have seen and heard, what He's done in my life. Oftentimes you think that you have to have the perfect scripture, the perfect verse. People are reading your life. People know you. People know what you were like before Jesus. Amen? And that speaks volumes. You don't have to tell somebody, like, I know, I remember you. You're crazy. But now you feel, now you have this joy about you. Now you have peace. Let me tell you how. Jesus. I'm nothing, but Jesus is everything. I pour out all, you know, that's why Paul says what we pour ourselves out, because we already know what's in here. Nothing that we want to give to anybody else. Kinds of Tupac anger inside of us. Pour all that out, right? So we can be filled up with Jesus. Amen? And we've truly experienced Jesus to help others experience Him too. We want to share the good news, man. It's a fantastic news that Jesus loves you. That He came to die a horrific death for your salvation. You know, share this. We forget, right, that we love our church. But God loved the church, right, first. He sent His Son to die on the cross. That's a different kind of love that we can't wrap our brains around. And we forget. We forget that what John 3:16 is not written just for the world. It's written for you. And it's written for me. Right? I know you guys all know that verse. I know some of you guys have it tattooed on your back. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes shall not perish but have what? Eternal life. I'm going to read it again, but instead of the world, I want you to shout your name. Okay? Instead of when I say world, I want you to say your name. For God so loved... No, that was terrible. I said shout. For God so loved... Right, that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Some of you guys still didn't. I was like, but listen, you don't listen. I'm not telling you. You're still the most beautiful and smartest church, okay? The people at other churches listen even less. Here's this. Let me just close with this thing, right? That God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. He loves me. And I know we forget. It's easy to forget. Because the world that we live in, the person that I'm looking back in the mirror, I don't always see that. I don't always feel it. Here's what I think. God wants us to be above our feelings and what? To know it. Which is different when you believe in God than when you know God. A lot of people believe in God, but they don't know God. There's a difference. It should transform our lives that when you have a genuine encounter with Jesus, I mean genuinely have an encounter with Jesus, that it has to change your life. And we want to introduce people to the person that can change people's lives. And you're invited to be a part of that. How cool would it be, right? Listen, I don't know if you know this, but every single person in here, right, here's a little bit of a downer. We're all going to die unless Jesus comes back. I ruined the movie of our lives. I'm just going to close with this, right? Either Jesus is coming back or we're all going to go get to meet him. Wouldn't it be so awesome? You guys have heard me say this before. Wouldn't it be so awesome to be up there and say, man, that's the person that introduced me to Jesus. And wouldn't it be awesome for you to be up there and say, that's the person, thank you, brother, that you introduced me to Jesus. Thank you that you cared enough to get to see through all that mess and all the walls, and you saw me, right? And you introduced me to Jesus. That would be awesome. Wouldn't that be awesome? Even that person that gets on your nerves, it would be awesome to see that person in heaven and that you introduced them to Jesus. Does that make sense? So we're not just going to stay quiet. We have to share what he's done. We have to share the good news, right? Let me just close with this. John 13:35. Jesus, we open this sermon with this verse. We're going to close the series with it. It says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. People will know that you're a disciple of Jesus Christ if you love one another, right? It doesn't say, you know, like, it talks about true, that you suffer. My brother knows it. It says, well, you haven't loved somebody until what? That you suffer for them and suffer deeply. And that's how Jesus loves us, right? So he's not talking to this lukewarm relationship. He's saying, listen, I want a church that is committed the same way that I'm committed to the church. Because God's all in. I don't know if you guys know this, but God's all in, right? My question to you is, are you like lukewarm in your relationship with God? Are you lukewarm with this relationship with the church? Jesus died for the church. You love Jesus and you want to be lukewarm. If I'm not tired, I'll go. You know, oh, I'm so tired. Oh, I really want to go do this one thing. You guys know what I'm talking about? Do you feel the Holy Spirit prompting you to say, like, listen, God is calling you into a deeper relationship with him and with his church. Not for our glory, for God's glory. For your benefit, for your blessing. Does that make sense? And that's what we're invited to. So the closing challenge from last week is, we talked about this. We don't ever do second offerings and all that kind of stuff. But listen, I did say last week, I said, listen, if there's needs in the church, let us know about them. Number two, I said, let's do a second offering. Go to the back. No one's going to be watching you. There's not a camera over there, right? But listen, if God has blessed you, man, you have the opportunity to bless people in the church. We can't, like I was just saying, in the book of Acts, they were sharing. They had help. Everybody, what? Nobody had any needs because the church itself met the needs. And so I'm asking you guys today, right? Two things. Write down your need, because I checked the box and nobody, I do check them, by the way. Nobody put any of their needs down. But the flip side of it is, like, we need to rise up to be the church that meets the people's needs. Yes? And so we're going to start here. And then next week, the other things too is, like, listen, we need opportunities to share the good news, right? And I know when you guys look at me, you're like, he's so handsome and he's so smart and he's anointed. I'm not all that. I'm maybe the first one. Okay. But we need help. We need ideas. You're talented and beautiful and smart, and we need your input. We need your thoughts. Right? Yes or no? Yeah. Amen. So help us out. Say, hey, there's a need over here. What about this? We need to be more involved in this community. I think this is a good mission opportunity. Yes, we might not be able to do all of it, but we can do some of it, yeah? But here's the other thing too. If God is giving you the thought and the process and the idea, be ready to be part of the team, okay? There's only one supervisor here. His name is Jesus. We don't need the kind of people to say, oh, why don't you guys do this and I'll just watch you guys from afar. That's a great idea. Go and do it. We don't need that kind of supervisor around here. Amen? None of us do. Jesus is the only person. Jesus is the boss. He's God. Amen? So that's what we're saying today. Listen. Pray about it. Keep praying about it. Right? If there's service opportunities in the church, let us know about them. We need to mobilize this. The church is the place where you get to exercise your talents and your time and your abilities for the edification of the church and for the blessing of the community that you're in. Yes? How are we going to reach people for Christ? Oh, I'm going to text them. okay. I'm going to DM them. Jesus loves you. DM. Right? I'm just saying, like, do you think people are getting saved through a DM? Like, there's a little hearty, like a Jesus emoji? I'm praying. I'm not saying we don't do that. It's cool. Between the bodies of believers, we pray for each other, yes. But when people are hurting, when people need to know Jesus, what do they need? They need relationship. They need prayer. They need you to show up. Amen? That's what this church needs to be about. That's how we share the love of Jesus Christ. Let me go ahead and close. Father God, thank you again for the power of your word, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that you love us, Lord, the way that you do. Thank you, Lord God, that you have called us, Lord God, to be the salt and the light, Lord God, to be the kingdom experience, Lord God, to a world that desperately needs to know who you are. Father God, continue to use this church to share the good news of who you are. Continue, Lord God, to give us a desire in our hearts to know you more, Lord God, deeply, intimately, through the power of your word and through the Holy Spirit. And then to go out and to make you known, Lord Jesus. You are the one that transforms lives. You are the one that saves. And so, Lord God, thank you again. Thank you for the calling that you have on every person here, Lord God. Number one, that we belong, that we can connect, that we can serve, that we can give, and that we can share, Lord God, the good news of who you are, Lord Jesus. Continue to work in every person that is here, Lord God. I know whenever there's a group like this gathered together, there's people that have physical conditions that need help, Lord God. They need healing, Lord God. Like Brother Tony, bring him back to full healing and restoration in his arm. There's people that need to be encouraged, Lord God, in their relationships because maybe they're feeling alone, Lord God. But Lord, in you, we find all things. We find comfort, Lord. When we mourn, we find we're blessed, Lord God. We just read today in the Beatitudes, Lord God, that you came to meet all of our needs. Lord God, if there's people here that are still hurting, Lord God, some kind of grieving the loss of a relationship or of a person, Lord God, bring comfort, bring healing, Lord God. Help us to mourn in you. You are the one that renews us, Lord God, and restores us. Thank you, Lord God, that you allow us, Lord God, to be filled with your Spirit. More than anything, Lord God, I just pray that we continue just to seek you out with all of our hearts. Seek you out, Lord God. And not to be religious and all have to do all these things, but Lord, to be pure of heart, to serve you, to know you, Lord God, to be your hands and your feet. Not to be self-righteous, Lord, but to be humble and to know that we're all flawed and broken. And we have a desperate need of you, Lord Jesus, every day. And we thank you that you meet us at our need. So, Lord God, I'm praying for every man that is here, Lord God, first, that they would sit, come alive for you, Lord Jesus. I thank you for every person that is standing here, Lord God. I pray for every man right now, Lord God, that they would rise up to be the man that you called them to be, to lead their families, Lord God, in humility, Lord God, and kindness and love and patience and sacrifice, Lord God, the way that you have loved the church. And Father, I pray for the women of our church as well, Lord God, that you equip them with time and talents and abilities, Lord God, to serve and to help, Lord God, to do their part, Lord God, of building up and to encourage and to nurture, Lord God. And Lord, we're all equals. I know. We're all equals, but we have different roles to play, Lord God. So we need every part of the body, Lord God. We need all of us to be serving together. We need, Lord God, I pray for our children, Lord God. I pray for our kids that they understand their roles in the family to help and to protect and to serve as well, Lord God. That we all have a role to play that is critical, Lord God, in the family and in your church body. So, Lord God, bless our children as well. Lord, I just pray, Lord God, our first ministry, and that's our ministry at home. Our families, Lord God, our children, our grandchildren, our nieces and nephews, Lord. Help us to be effective, Lord, to share the good news of who you are with them first. And at our places of work, and where we hang out, Lord God, where we do life, help us, Lord God, to be the salt and the light where we go, to be effective, to introduce people to you, Lord Jesus. Because they'll know that we're your disciples by how the way that we love, the way that we love each other, and the way that we love the world, Lord God. Thank you again for giving us this opportunity, Lord God, to do our part, the church. Will you continue to protect us, Lord God, as we go about our day, Lord God, that the mission field starts out there. Good news of who you are, Lord. Let's not just on our hats, our Jesus hats, when we show up here on Sundays, but we go and do the work that you called us to do. Give witness and testimony of your goodness to a world who needs to know who you are. Lord, we love you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.